please help me welcome Michael Lean F. from Escondido, California, as our speaker tonight.
Hi, everybody. Mike Lean, grateful alcoholic. I want to thank Lee. Did he already leave? Okay. I was going to say, you know, thank Lee for having me come up. And thanks for leading the meeting. Where'd the leader go? Why do people just keep leaving? I'm just getting connected. Oh, there you are. Okay, fine.
Not too far.
So it's me, is what you're saying.
Not saying anything.
That hasn't changed.
I want to welcome the newcomers to Alcoholics Anonymous. Welcome home. Better to be a Mormon if you're going to the Mormon church. Just saying. AA. So just wanted to welcome you home. Well, it's kind of like going to Catholic church and saying I'm Mormon. I mean, so what? You know, just I'm okay now. I don't even have opinions on outside issues, thank God. And I want to thank my daughter for driving up here with me from Escondido. Road trip. Good way to spend Mother's Day for me, as was my firstborn child, who's almost 52 years old. Doesn't she look pretty? Such a pretty girl. Sorry. This dress was clean. I just need to say this, okay, in case anybody notices some spots on my dress. I just got this out of the dry cleaners, and Jason Wheeler is my baby boy. He grew up with my son in Escondido and got sober there. And I've loved him as long as I've known him, since he was this big. He's almost 16 years sober. And I got to feed McKenna tonight and have her sit on my lap. And she threw food all over my dress. It was clean. I'm just saying. I just don't want you to think I drove all the way up here in a dirty dress. So it's not what happened. I don't want a reputation to precede me, right? I love you, and I'm glad Shelley brought you. I got to see her and the baby. This is a big deal to me, so humor me for a second. This is going to be Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms and all the dads that wear two hats. That's a big deal to me. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate Mother's Day for me than being in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I got a second chance. Welcome to the Al-Anons. I was going for Al-Anon and overshot the mark. That's actually what happened. Basically, I like to suffer, and I like everybody to go, you poor thing. That was one of my favorite parts. And I love good-looking alcoholic men with potential. It's kind of my pattern, and I like them a lot. And he was young and good-looking with potential, your father. Anyway, this is kind of what I'm like. I'm glad you read the traditions. I have a women's meeting in my living room, called Living Room Group, and it's going to be 23 years old in August, which means it's almost 23, Lee. And we go through 12 weeks of steps, then we go through 12 weeks of steps, and we go through 12 weeks of traditions. So trying to make the traditions exciting, and I want the women I sponsor to have a sense of responsibility about the traditions, and so we do all kinds of different things to make them come alive at my house. And so the last 12 weeks we had Bill Wilson was our guest leader. We surprised everybody. And he did the 12 traditions, and we just, on YouTube, he does traditions on YouTube. Bill Wilson, he's dead, but he apparently, they put it on YouTube. Anyway, I don't actually care about any of that. I care about the girls were excited. They hadn't seen him. They embraced the history of Alcoholics Anonymous differently than they had before. They embraced the traditions. And if it weren't for those 12 traditions, we wouldn't be here today. Because we have issues, people. I don't know if you've noticed that, but look around. There's something wrong with us. And this thing's lasted forever. I mean, this is crazy. So it was pretty cool anyway. So I'm pretty committed to have a good time. And in spite of what people around me want to do, I just think things are funny. And I didn't think things were funny before. Life was intense. So things I make fun of now were not funny then. They were tragic. They focused on tragic. Catastrophes, as one of my granddaughters would say. And we just had their best Mother's Day weekend last weekend, and Shamra's youngest daughter flew in from Washington. She's 25? Jeez. And we had a great week. People are old in my family. I'm just getting in touch with this, and I'm feeling it tonight for some reason. So what's my point? I have no idea. Where was I going with that? I was raised in Phoenix, and I wasn't going to be an AA. I was going to be a nun. And that was my intent. And I kind of, it doesn't seem to matter if Jesus, Mary, and Joseph would have raised me or the Charles Manson family. I'm off. I've been off since I can remember. I was off forever. As soon as I could think of my honor off, I knew I was off. And I just pretended not to be. I don't know if you've ever tried to act like you're a legitimate person when you know you're not one, but it's like holding in your stomach, you know? It's exhausting. And that's kind of what I just decided to do, to pretend to be normal. Pretend to be educated. Pretend to be normal. I mean, I didn't even know what any of that was going to look like. And it was just stressing me out as a kid. So I was going to be a nun at St. Agnes in Phoenix, and I was going to the mother house, and it was just going to be this beautiful, like the nun story from the 50s and 60s. You know, there are some old people with me tonight, my friends, my people. And they are going to nod when sometimes the rooms just go, huh? That's what I was going to do. And sometimes if you don't fit in your skin, you're going to go do something. And I was going to go be a nun. And I don't think I would have made that great of a nun, but I was going to. And I like the outfits. I like beads. I like statues and candles and ambiance and rosaries. I like all that. So I thought I'll be a nun. And I went to my first party, had my first drink, couldn't be a nun the next day. The end. And in a general way, get it. So I became a go-go dancer and the pirate's den, sorry. I was fully costumed, and it was really her dad's sister that talked me into doing that. But minimum wage then was 65 cents an hour. How old I am, and it was $4 an hour cash, as I remember, and that's like you're rich. And I left home at 15 and came to California to marry a sailor. Who made the meatloaf tonight? Raise your hand. That was flipping good meatloaf. That's what part of this is meatloaf. But the baby loved the meatloaf as well. But really, for those of you that know Donna Reed, my idol, note the pearls, hence the pearls. If you don't know who Donna Reed is, Google her afterwards. She's amazing. She's the epitome of everything I wanted to be. And I came to California to be her, basically. And I looked like an old soul when I was 15. I wore aprons and I made meatloaf and I ordered Parents Magazine. I didn't really know. It depended on which episode was on TV, if Father Knows Best or Leave It to Beaver, but I just kind of wanted to be like that. And I thought I could create that if I wanted that. And really the next 20 years, 25 years, we did a lot of things that looked like a normal family. We did. I worked in an emergency room. We had Girl Scout troop. We did Cub Scouts. We did a million normal things. We weren't okay, but we were doing okay things. And he was the alcoholic and I was the good one. And I would be good and he would be bad. And he would apologize and then we'd go camping. And I'd forgive him. And then And that's how I lived. I really didn't have much of a voice. I didn't know what to do. Everything was such a secret. It was not easy to pull off this life that I didn't think was going to be that hard. I mean, I watched multiple episodes of every Happily Ever After show ever, and I just thought that's how you do it. If you make a meatloaf and buy ice cream and you have a Girl Scout trip, I mean, how bad could it get? And it got bad. And I'm glad I became an alcoholic. I really am glad, because if you're just messed up, there's not Messed Up Anonymous. I mean, this, you could identify with something is wrong. Here it is, join something. But it's hard. It's hard unless you get something. And what I got was the drinking to go with my alcoholism. It worked out perfectly, because at the age of 5, I was driven by 100 forms of fear. I had self-pity, self-seeking, self-delusion. I lived that way. I was driven. I didn't just have a few fears. I was driven by them. It was always something. I started to create a storyline of what I wished I was like. I almost drank at 6.5 years sober. And I like to talk about that for a second, because when you hit a really low bottom like I did, the only way to go if you're sober is up. It's not like you're a high achiever. There's just, you have to go up. I mean, first you get some new underwear, and then you have a roof over you. I mean, it's like, so I thought it was like a rising star in AA. And things started to fall into place. What am I standing on? Jesus. I'm good. It's a pen, not mine. But then life started happening more and different, and I started struggling. I thought, I'm not going to tell, because I don't want anybody to think I'm not serious about this. I have H&I commitments galore. I'm doing all these things. I've taken all these steps. I've made my amend. I mean, why should I not be fine? Why should anything be wrong? I'm not telling. I don't want my sponsor to feel like she sucks, so I'm not going to mention it to her. But I thought, I can figure this out. I know AA. And I kept trying to figure it out. And what I realized when I almost drank was I was willing to drink rather than look bad here. Fascinating. Drink rather than look bad. Keep the secret rather than tell. And it almost cost me my sobriety. So I've been looking bad at times ever since. I don't actually care. I look authentic. And sometimes I think, wow, and other times I think, oh, help me, Jesus. You know, but that is what I'm like. And I thought, if you don't get authentic here, and if you don't tell what you were like and what happened and what you're really like now, you won't get to stay. Too hard. Too hard. And in AA, I mean, geez, you want to look good in AA? Really? We like it when you're screwed up. You guys look kind of messed up. You look like newcomers. Welcome, we go. You know, we're totally into that. No place else are they going to look at you two and go, yippee, you know. We're proud of you, right? Anybody else having a party for you? No. They're not inspired by this. We are. We'll clap all night long for you. I mean, and then we'll ask you to come back. Well, say you want to help us with, I mean, it's like crazy here. Join if you're smart. No place else are they impressed with you. That's why I joined. I mean, they were like totally into me. I thought, oh, I'm joining this, you know. Total loser. Okay, good job, she's here. And I thought, I am staying here. Don't leave. But I didn't want to come here. I wouldn't have. He was alcoholic. I was a good one. I was the good one. I was not the bad one. I was the good one. And finally, my neighbor, good friend, good old Nana, who was not an alcoholic, by the way, after the divorce, she says, you should have a glass of wine after work. I'd race home, put my martyr outfit on, go do scouts, go do cubs, go do this, start the laundry. And it was exhausting. And so she says, you should have a glass of wine I said, I don't really like drinking. I don't really like wine. Really, I liked a foo-foo drink at the ER Christmas party. That was about my, I mean, and I could get messed up, but it's not often enough to be a pattern. Kind of look like I deserve to have a drink, you know, after what I've been through. And so what happened was I did that. Sit on her porch, pour a glass of wine. She had good wine. Didn't really like it. But after a while, if you're alcoholic, you acquire a taste for motor oil if you drink it. And pretty soon I thought, I love this, you know. And she wasn't an alcoholic, so she bought actually good wine at a wine store or something. And now I'm like, fuck! And so I go over one day after work, and she's got a box of wine there with a spigot, which I still think is kind of cool. I didn't understand that she bought me a box of wine because rather than drink her good stuff, I was like, because I apparently was a pig. Wah, more, you know. So then the kids who had been my everything, now they're annoying. You know, if you have kids, they'll suck the life out of you if you let them. Dinner, homework, attention. I mean, it's just, whoa. I'm trying to relax. And if you've been tense your whole life and secretly unhappy and scared to death and you drink, you'll feel better. I don't know if you've ever drank, but it's kind of relaxing. And so I was kind of going to go for that again. This is a good thing. I am relaxed. I'm kind of renewed. Actually, I needed to relax. That's what I needed. I didn't know what I needed. I needed to relax. And I connected the two. Have a glass of wine or five. Relax. Do better. I thought, I love this. And I thought, I'm going to do that every week. I'm going to do it a couple times a week. Then I'm going to do it. Why not be relaxed every day, basically? I mean, why be tense anymore? If you think about it, why do that to yourself or others? Like being of service. I'm like, if you have the progressive disease of alcoholism, it's going to take you someplace that you don't actually want to go. And it's going to do some things to you that you didn't know would really happen. And it's going to hurt anybody that you care about. The people who haven't done anything to you are going to be bad. It's not going to be good. It's going to be really, really bad if you have the progressive disease of alcoholism. It doesn't end up like it started out. That's what's wrong with this thing. It starts off like you're going to relax, or you're going to have the party, or you're going to do this. You're not going to become a bad mom and not come home at all. That's not going to happen. You're trying to relax so you can be a better mom, basically. I mean, I did it for you. Just kidding. I mean, no problem. I mean, at least I could do. You wouldn't get this weekend if it weren't for this story. So that's what happened to me. They asked me what was wrong. I didn't know. I really did not know. I had the progressive disease of alcoholism. I thought I'd just gone bad or gone crazy. Or I really didn't understand it at all. And on June 29th, that's my regular birthday. June 30th, 1982 is my sobriety date. And for new people, relapse isn't mandatory. An option, but it isn't mandatory here. You can't actually stay here from this time. I did the raising my hand, and I don't do that anymore. Clap for people that raise their hand. But I just wasn't going to drink because it was my birthday, and we did the Waltons impersonation at my house, and everybody's standing around the bed singing happy birthday like they do at Waltons Mountains. If you've never seen the Waltons, Google it. But it was good family stuff. And I came out of a partial blackout. I wish it would have been a complete blackout that night. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where the kids were. I didn't know what had happened. And what I could remember, I wished I didn't. And the middle of the night prayer, you know, I said, I'm not sure if you're there, but if you are, this is bad. I don't know what to do. And what I've learned in almost 36 years is God will always do for me what I can't do for myself. Every time. He has never done for me what I could do for myself. I've asked him, said, I don't think I can do this for myself. No, you can. No, help me. No. But he's always done for me what I couldn't do for myself, and I would not have thought to come to you. Believe me. Wouldn't have occurred to me. Still had a roof over our heads. I still had a few dollars in the bank. I still had a job in healthcare. Still had things. Got to my first meeting by calling AA Central Office, and I got 12-step by a lady named Flo. And my first meeting was Thursday night, Channel Road, Lakeside, California, on June 30th, 1982. And I thought you had to say how much time you had because somebody said their name, they were an alcoholic, and they had 30 days. And I didn't know your little routines. And so I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm Michaeline. And, you know, the lady at 12 kept me poking, you know, the poke, like do something. And I was like, ooh, you know, trying to look good with sweat all over me and just bloated. And too late, not going to happen. And I said my name. I'm an alcoholic, which I actually didn't even know I was, and that I had 11 hours. They went nuts. It's like a golf score. You know, the lower around here, the better. You know, they're totally into me. I was like, 11 hours. I mean, they clapped louder for me than the guy with 30 days. It was amazing. And I thought, and I was awake. I mean, this is so long, you guys. All day, 11 hours, awake, sober. It's exhausting. It's so long. And then you know you're going to have to go overnight, and then the weekend's coming. It was horrible. I was just like, oh my God, this is not good. The Thursday night. And something happened in the meeting that I couldn't describe, that I had a sense of. Like, this is it. Don't leave. I had a sense of that. I couldn't have articulated it that night, but I thought not to leave. And I went the next day and the next day. And then they said, some are sicker than others, the lady next to me. And I looked around. I thought, I know. How sad. Look at him. I mean, I feel bad for him. And she met me, which was crazy. I mean, I have a lot of potential. I've got a lot going for me. And she says, I don't know if you can make it. And that scared me. I mean, I didn't know if I was bad enough to stay. I didn't know if I was good enough to stay. I didn't know if it gets hard, I do want to quit. Or I changed my mind. You know how many bottles of vitamins I've started in my lifetime? And I'm old. A lot. I changed my mind. I don't really see any difference. And I think they give me a stomachache. I'm over it, you know? So I didn't know what was going to happen here. But they said, keep coming back, it'll get better. It'll get better. And 2 weeks later, I couldn't work. I'm looking like this. I don't actually know how I got this job. I'm not actually qualified for it. Whoa, you know, like, and I can't be here all day. I used to take gin and tonic and Tupperware and put it in my desk drawer the last 6 months, 5 months of my drinking, because why wait a happy hour to get happy? Be happy early, you know, was for yourself and others. You know, I was going to, like, it's too long to wait to happy hour. Happy morning. Let's start with happy morning. I mean, it was just, but you have to go to work, so you might as well be happy and go to work. And now I'm sober and I'm not happy. I hate it. I hate work. I don't know how many kids I have. They're everywhere. I can't function. One of my other problems was mail. I don't know if you guys are totally into mail, but I'm still not. And I, you know, every day, look at the mail. Yippee. Then I had a new creative approach to bills. And that was, if you're not going to pay it, don't open it. because opening it is like it connects you somehow to what debt you have. And if you have the debt and you're not going to pay it, you're going to be guilty and feel worry. Why worry? You're not going to pay it anyway. Why even go to the mailbox? Leave it. So I did for like 3 months. I thought, I'm not going to pay it anyway. What do I care? And they, just so you know, if you think that, I thought it was a great idea, but they will take your house and your stuff and everything because they're trying to let you know, but you don't want to know because they want you to give them your money, which they think is their money, but I'm working. It's creative financing 101. I just still don't like it. I pay them before they're due now, and I do open them, but still not a fan. Not a fan. I had my first car payment in over 20 years, and I've been whining ever since I got it. I don't like bills. I just don't. I never have. But now I open them. But then I didn't. So I can't work. Can't open the mail. Obviously can't take care of the kids. They're scattering. They're like, we're going as long as you're in AA. You're not fine. I say, no, I don't know what's wrong with me. Every day I go, I'm worse. But I have to go, and it's supposed to get better, but they didn't say when, and I have issues. Give me 12 weeks. I have 12 things they want you to do. It's not like Esther, you know, some high-tech program. It's just a couple of books, 12 things. I mean, I can knock one out a week. Give me 12 weeks. Take all the time you need, Mom. We'll be back soon. I couldn't do it. Sober, I'm not good. I started back. I've done H&I at Detox. I've done H&I every place. I love H&I. But Detox has probably been 31 out of almost 36 years. I like Detox. Just got a thing about Detox. I like it. But I do warn them, stay on the mats as long as humanly possible. Don't get up the mat. Stay here. Stay here. Make a moccasin. Do whatever you guys do. But if you go out there, you're going to be returned to the very life you were trying to get away from. So wait until you're equipped. And I had to do that. I couldn't face anything. It was too much for me. And my bottom was in every area sober. And by the time I got 90 days sober, I'm living in a camping trailer in somebody's front yard with red shack carpeting. I had a bicycle my friend Alan gave to me to use that I believe a drug addict stole, just saying. I'm not a camper, per se. Not really my thing. Camping just doesn't really do it for me. And I'm living in a camping trailer that's 14 feet long. I don't know if you want to measure 14 feet at any given moment in your life. It's little, and it's metal, and it's in somebody's front yard. You don't have a mailbox, which that was the best part of it. No mailbox, no address. Where do you live? Pat Webster's front yard. You know, that was it. No running water. There was a hose. There was a payphone at Taco Leo's. And I had the bicycle, and I sold plasma. And that's what I did. That's how I got sober. It had to happen for me that way. If I had had one prop, one commitment, one day planner, one event, one anything to do, I would have died drunk. I would have. The only thing I could do was be an AA. What do? I'm in AA. I mean, do you work? No, can't work. I'm in AA. Can't work and be in AA. It's like a full-time job for me. I don't drink all day. I have a coffee commitment. If I can stay sober another month, I can be the ticket girl at the Saturday night speakers meeting. I mean, I can't flip and work, people. Too much. Ride the bicycle, sell some plasma. Can't work. And If I clean the ashtrays after the bingo thing, then you get a free dinner at the club on Sundays. I had a busy life going here on a winning streak. And ride my bicycle back to the cabin. I mean, it was just a nightmare. It really isn't a fun story at all. It wasn't funny then. It was torture. And all these creepy people in AA were having it easier than I was having it. I was a good person. I had been a Girl Scout leader, for Christ's sake. And look at what's happened to me. I don't understand. That person's a complete loser, and they're living in a house and getting laid at it with the paper. But do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, how does this work? It's not like a merit system around here. Look around. You'll figure it out. It's just not, it doesn't click for me. And so I just thought I was doing, and where I got sober, if you were a whiner, you got another commitment. And I had about 800 commitments a week. I could have 5 commitments in one meeting. It was just until I learned. So I'm going to warn the new people now. If your sponsor says, how are you doing? Say, good. Good. Grateful. Made a grateful list. Love. Love gratitude. Love God. Love AA. I never had it so good. They love to hear that too. I didn't know. Nobody warned me, so I thought they wanted to know how I was doing, so I tell them. Bad. My life sucks. I hate it, you know. Commitment. She'll be a coffee maker. You know, she'll mop the floors while she's making the coffee. I mean, it was just... So it took me a while to get out of the commitment overload because, how are you doing? Good, good. Love AA, love God. Love everything. Love gratitude lists. I love it all. I just AA, love God. Okay. No more commitments. Just get me out of here alive, you know. And so there was an old-timer in East County named Jack Ladd. And Jack Ladd came to the trailer one day. Got me a job making sandwiches in a deli. So I have a healthcare background. Because you sell plasma, you're living in Pat Webster's front yard, you're going to work at the deli. Your mom can make sandwiches. I mean, put it together. I said, how much does it pay? Because you have no income. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. That's the only reason I took the job. I didn't want a job. I was perky then. I just thought I could get free meals from the guys at the club, whatever. I just wanted to be an AA. And so I started the next day. Ride my bicycle. It's just a pathetic life. But I learned about God's gifts come in ugly wrapping paper. They do. The suckiest ones are the best ones. Everything that went wrong was the best stuff for me. And if you stay sober, you'll live to laugh about it and tell stories, and it'll be funny. It's a punchline. Then it was a tragedy. My A tragedy. Just don't tell anybody with time. Tell other people with no time your tragedy, because you'll get commitments here. I'm just warning you guys. I just want you to know. Wish they would have told me, but nobody told me. I ride my bicycle at Taco Leo's, and I call my sponsor, and I tell her my sad story. And I want a boyfriend to be an AA with me. We'll talk about God and stuff. Sure of it. And go to AA dances. I mean, I hated it. And she'd say, go back and ask God to hold you tonight. I know. Okay. Jump on that one. You know, I just like, oh my God, I didn't want to do that. I mean, I wanted a furry chest. Sponsors aren't real sharp. You're not, most of them, you're not that sharp. You know, I mean, she really didn't zero in on my needs. She was just like, ask God to hold you. I'm like, ride my bicycle back to the camping trailer. You know, it was just, but I thought I was going to lose my mind in there. No phone, no TV, no radio, no nothing. Just me. Whew. Yeah. this is after a lot of work, too. I mean, it was just, then it was so scary. And so I started asking God to hold me at night. I guess I'm not going to tell anybody, but it's so awkward. But if you don't, and if I don't feel it, I'll kill myself. I'll leave a note. I'll say, I asked you to help me, and you didn't. Amen. Basically my prayer. It was just, I thought I'm going to die here. The drama of my first year. And then all of a sudden I started feeling something. It was very weird because I'd never had a sense of myself. I'd never had a sense of strength, for sure. I'd never had much of, I don't know, I didn't really even know anything about anything. It's just like you quit pretending all the time and you just quit holding in your stomach and you're just kind of raw, and it was a good time for me. Very vulnerable. The best prayers are just the secret ones between you and God. They're the very best ones. They're legit. God knows it too. They're pathetic tonight. It's a good prayer session. You know, they like it. But it made me want to take the steps. Which the steps, talk for a few days on those. I didn't jump right in, but I was doing my fourth step by the time I was 8 months over. I did thorough. I did them. I was painstaking. I wasn't that good at them, but I was totally giving 100% of it. My sponsor was very committed to help me see my part in things. And I don't know, I hope you use the big book, but it was like that second column, let's just call it what it is. It's your justification column. Because by the time you get to the fourth one, you're going to have some pretty good justification for the crap that you pulled. So I really wanted to explain what they'd done to me. That's the second column. Make it good. Because your column's not going to look that good. But if you can do enough work on your justification column, then maybe you can slide in your victim routine. My sponsor didn't let me get away with it. I tried. No go. One of the girls they sponsored the other day, she's 31 years old, I said, your justification column keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I gotta go. Keep working on it. So I had good sponsorship. I had good sponsorship that used our books, our paper, had me do them thoroughly, and helped me when I got stuck. She didn't try to make me have 20 years when I didn't, but she tried to help me have quality to those steps and the work that I was doing, and I'll never, she died 3 weeks before I turned 25 years sober. Not my favorite day. I was up at her house up in Washington. My grandson, I said, Joyce just died for no reason. I mean, she just died. My grandson, I never forget it. He's 21 now, he's a little thing then. And he says, Grandma, you gonna be okay? And I said, I'm not gonna like it, but I'll be okay. But she was good. She's big book. She's 12 and 12. She's get on your knees sponsorship. And so the steps made me want to do 6 and 7 and make me different. That's what 6 and 7 are about. Make me different. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, this cannot be the finished product. It can't be. I can't just magically transform. The book talks about that. But I got pretty serious about it when it came to other people. I don't mind being neurotic when I'm by myself. I find myself somewhat amusing, actually. I don't want to hurt anybody else. So when me being me is bothering you, I'm going to look at it. And I can tell. I was pretty good about the forgiveness thing if I wasn't that mad at you anyway. Step 8's about forgiveness for me anyway. It's about letting people off the hook. It says something about, you know, if we're going to go ask for forgiveness, shouldn't we start forgiving people? Not in my book. Mine said, if I screwed up with you, I'm sorry. Let's move on. If you screwed up with me, you're going to pay. And I will let you off the hook when I think you paid enough. But it's going to be quite a while from all you did. I didn't know about forgiveness and letting people off the hook. And my sponsor said to me one day when I was blaming something else on my dad, poor dad. My mom died when I was young, so everything was my dad's fault. And she says, if I have to hear the daddy beat me story one more time, I'm going to throw up. So of course I hung up on her because she's not that sensitive. And I didn't really care. And I don't even think he beat me that much. I mean, it was just something about taking responsibility, for God's sakes, for who I was and where I was going. What a fascinating concept. Well, you have to let people off the hook and quit being a victim. It was suggested I consider that as an option. So I did it. With God's help, I did it. I just said, everybody's off the hook. Some people I can't have in my life, but they're off the hook. Broken people break people. That's what happens. That's what happened. I was broken, I broke people. It's not different because I did it. It's the same. Look different. Different outfit, that's all. One of the biggest amends I had to make was to my dad. And I need to talk about that because it was pretty consistent with the rest of my inventories. This is how I kind of was. And it took me 5 years of inventory just so if somebody had explained it better, it might not have taken me that long. But so I always wanted my dad to be a good dad. And here's what that looks like. I had not been a great daughter. Interesting. I wanted my dad to remember my birthday. I knew his was sometime in October. I wanted him to accept me for who I was and how I was. And I didn't accept him for who he was and how he was. The difference was he had honor. He was a wounded World War II veteran that carried himself with some dignity. And I wasn't that, and I wanted him to. Oh, Jesus. So finally I get the inventory right and I'm going, oh my God. What a mess. I get it. And that inventory kind of reflects my whole life of inventories, trust me. The employers became fine when I started being a better employee. Interesting way this all works. Interesting. So I fly to Texas to make amends to my dad. I ask him, I says, he didn't even know what I'm doing, you know. I had raised my sister when my mom died. I had just kind of stepped up to the plate so he'd approve. And we hadn't gone separate ways. We just always were separate as we got older because he stressed me out. Because I stressed him out, he stressed me out. Interesting. So I fly back there, I'm going to make my amends to my dad. I thought, oh my God, I'm so sorry, geez. But I have to do it in such a way that he's not like touchy-feely. You know, so I just wanted to clean it up and I wanted to go be a good daughter. And so I fly back there, I see my aunt before my mom's sister, my dead mom's sister, and I see her before I can go in to see my dad. And I said, you know, and I'm 5 years sober, so I'm very dramatic, not mellow like I am now. Just going for it. And she said, well, honey, that's not even your real daddy. Oh. Exactly. And I said, what? She goes, oh, wait, you didn't know. Well, I thought you knew. Well, your mom never told you. Well, I'll be darned. Well, anyway, then she's trying to go on with the story. Time out. Here. I'm not German. Was probably said 6 times. I'm not German. I am not German. Grandpa and Grandma Dreheim are not my grandpa and grandma. Jesus, I'm not. What? She said, well, I think you're a Greek or a Jew. I never could remember what. It was a restaurant owner where your mom was waitressing. You didn't know that. Well, son of a gun. Well, I could have swore. I thought she told you. Well, anyway, she's trying to tell me the story. I'm like, I thought you were black. I'm freaking out. So I go What do you do when you're freaking out? I went to a meeting. Go racing to the Legacy Club outside of Houston and go racing in there like Kramer and just like, and there's an old timer named Lois there, and I was just like vomiting this information. Stop everything. And she's looking at me like I'm on crack, you know, like, bah. And I'm, this is big. I'm out here from California, this is big. And she's just looking at me. This is a big story, right? This is really real. And she said, a little California girl's got a problem. She goes, honey, a daddy's a daddy. She got sober the year I was born. I thought, are you flipping kidding me? You got all this time and a daddy is a daddy is what you're telling me? So we came here to clean it up, go clean it up. Let's just have a meeting on acceptance for a little girl from California with a problem. About one meeting, one topic, closing prayer, and I thought, really, daddy's a daddy, who cares? Whatever, German, Jew, Black, whatever, I'm just flexible. I have no idea. Go for it. Okay, I'm over it. I'm good with it. Thanks. California, I would have been on Oprah, you know, but in Texas, they could care less. They're not into the drama, you know? They don't care. I mean, it's like, whatever, a daddy's a daddy. I'm in Texas, you know? Figure it out. Not that hard. And I became an incredible daughter to an incredible dad. Very awesome experience. I mean, I could have missed all that. These steps were the things that made everything that I needed to have happen inside my soul happen. Everything. I mean, if I die tomorrow, it's all happened for me here. I did get to meet the right guy on AA campus, and we both didn't need each other. You know, my sponsor had said when I was young, she said, you know, you're looking for Prince Charming and he's looking for a princess and you're not one. Ow. True, but I mean, ow. Because you have nothing going for you. I know. I want a boyfriend. I didn't care. You know, I'd never had that kind of criteria before. Like, you should have something going for you if you're going to be in a relationship. It was like a fascinating concept to me. I never even heard of that. So when I had something going for me, I met somebody who had something going for him, and we did it. And we did do it. And, I mean, in a literal sense, too, but you know what I'm saying? We did AA. We're like, he did this, and I did this, and he sponsored, and I sponsored. I loved it. There's nothing better than when you actually have something to offer. You find somebody that has something to offer. I never felt like I deserved that, or I didn't know about it. It was crazy. So that was good. That was a happily ever after till the day he dropped dead without any notice. He got a clean bill of health on a Friday. He was talking up in L.A. on a Sunday night, and March 5th, 2000, he was driving back with a couple of sponsees, and he just had a massive coronary and just died. Just his day to go home. Was his day to go. He was scared about getting old. No, but people around us weren't making it look all that attractive. And so he didn't have to. He didn't have to. He got to go out on a winning streak. He looked good. He felt good. Just went home. And I knew it was going to be bad, and it was, but I knew how it'd turn out. I knew how it would turn out. It turned out fine. Everything always turns out fine here. I've been watching people since the day I got sober. How do you stay sober overnight? How do you stay sober all weekend? How do you open the mail? How do you parent sober? How do you be in a relationship? How do you get a good credit score? How do you stay faithful to your employer? Well, one of the reasons I've had longevity in the profession I have is because I know who I work for. I have a good employer. He provides what I need. If I stay close to him, it's crazy. I'm only there to be a service to him and others. When I work for that company I work for, don't get me going. But when I work for my employer, I'm good. I'm hopeful. I have a purpose there. My kids are the most incredible people I know. They forgave me. They gave me a do-over. Consequently, I've given them some do-overs. They give me some more do-overs. I've given them some more do-overs. We're a do-over family. No matter what, we got each other's back. Because I'm a sober woman with some dignity and longevity here. Time does matter. I have credibility, unless I quit doing what I've been doing. And there's steps to stay, believe me. I have to keep taking them. And that step study I go to every single week, I got something new every week to work on. Not like when I was young, I needed to take those steps. I need to take them now. I'm the cookie lady of my home group. I clean the table. I don't ask the young people to take all the commitments because I've already had to do them all. I don't ask them to do that. I take commitments. I'll still give rides. People gave me rides. I'm going to do what I need to do to keep doing what I've been doing here. And 9 grandkids that have never seen me drink. They think I'm a crazy grandma sometimes, and they love me, but they think I'm a normal grandma. They don't know I was a hope to die drunk. If I say I was, my youngest kids are 40 and 42. If I say I drank, they, whatever. Whatever, Mom, you know. Just join something. You know, if you want to do that, that's great. But they don't remember. She does. My oldest son, who's in recovery, she's in recovery. They remember. They remember my progression with this disease, and they gave me a do-over. So, probably the best Mother's Day gift ever, right? So, thanks for letting me share.